Everybody, welcome back to this. I'm your host, Shauna Griffiths, and I am so excited to have a new friend and a very real leader who we're going to have a talk with today. So Jai Kenzie, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here and excited to have this conversation with you. So yeah, thank you for having us. The GTI crew.
There you go, the GTI squad.
The GTI squad.
Absolutely. So we can't get into it without giving a shout out to our mutual friend. I love it when I get recommendations for guests on here. So our mutual friend, Asia Bradley, recommended Jai, and Asia is a total badass too. And she... Amazing, right? So she has if anybody's looking for an experiential agency, she has an award-winning experiential agency called Conversado, and she's amazing. So thank you, Asia, for this.
We love you, Asia. That's my girl.
You know, I swear.
Or like my sister.
Yeah, there really is, I think, like this coming together, I think, of really authentic people when that's your energy and that's like, you know, that you tend to have those people around you. And so, you know, again, like that is Asia, that is you. And so super glad to have you here today. And we've referenced GTI, which is Green Thumb Industry, which is the company that Jai works for. So we're going to get into that in a minute. And you're the director of social impact, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Amazing. So we're actually going to jump to that first because we're going to go through this conversation, but I really would love the audience to have the context of what the company is and what your role is. So school us.
So GTI, Green Thumb Industries, we are a national cannabis consumer packaged goods company. So it's an amazing organization. You know, we really strive to really just, you know, promote well-being through the power of cannabis. We are the owners of Rise Dispensaries. We have about 76 locations nationwide. We have 17 manufacturing facilities nationwide, and we're in 15 states so far. But we're growing every day. Like you said, I'm the director of social impact. So I have this is my dream job, where I basically get to lead our philanthropic efforts across the U.S. and the markets where we serve our customers as well as the communities. So, you know, we have four pillars under our social impact umbrella, which are restorative justice, which really focuses on supporting communities that have been impacted by the war on drugs. And then second, we have our community engagement pillar, which focuses heavily on that employee volunteerism engagement piece. We have amazing employees who are so engaged. So that is always a lot of fun. And then we have our DE&I, diversity, equity, inclusion, which really focuses on, you know, that talent acquisition as well, working really closely with our people team, as well as, you know, supplier diversity and supporting brands of color to ensure we have, you know, an even playing field in terms of getting people of color into this cannabis industry. And then our environmental stewardship pillar, which really focuses on looking at innovative ways to be, developing eco-friendly business practices within the company. So it's great. I love it.
It's amazing. I think that I'm not that close to the industry, but I've been watching. I mean, it's been so fast. It's like this kind of, it all of a sudden was like this sexy industry that everybody got so interested in, and it absolutely blew up. But it's also so highly regulated. So it's, except other than gaming and when I say gaming, I mean more on the betting side. I don't think there's a lot of industries that parallel that. And I just think I've just been fascinated with it. And so I bet it's incredible to be working in the midst of it all. You're literally building the plane as you're flying it.
Yeah. I mean, but the positive side of it is, we say that all the time, like we're literally building a plane, fueling it and flying it at the same time. But at the same time, it gives us such a great opportunity, especially in the diversity space, to really just build something from scratch the right way and to get it right, you know, and to really build out a foundation and looking at examples from companies that have been around for decades and centuries and pulling from, you know, their best practices and experiences of how we can just really create something that's great. And I always tell people, I said, I feel like I'm at band camp because you have people from every single industry who has come to the cannabis industry and bringing just a wealth of knowledge on like, how did we do it in this space? How did we do it in that space? You know, my background, I have like 20 years experience of CSR work and community relations and communications work. And most recently at a nonprofit. So just bringing that experience in, a lot of folks are like transferring those skills, which is great. And so we want that, to have people come in from different industries to bring that expertise. But yeah, it's definitely, you know, so people shouldn't shy away from getting into the cannabis industry because they don't have like traditional cannabis experience. But it's a great opportunity to transfer those skills. And we're literally at band camp and everyone is bringing their different instruments. They're bringing their different instruments and we are making it work. And we are doing like a great job of just piecing it all together to make a beautiful sound, to make a beautiful space that I feel like it's a great opportunity for us to create that foundation and innovative efforts to really create a diverse cannabis industry.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to touch on something because you were talking about the supporting the people team that you have. So about, you know, with DEI and, you know, and so in our recent, the audience, I'm just going to share a little bit with you. So we have part of SLG Impact. We have an email newsletter that goes out monthly. If you haven't signed up, go to slgimpact.com, but it's called Resource of Realness. And in it, we feature several different things, but including job postings. And so we recently included a couple of job postings from GTI, and I loved how straightforward one of the posting in it, you listed that you're looking for someone from the Black and Brown community. And I just really love the transparency with that and the commitment to that effort. And I do think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I do think there has race and identity and, you know, diversity has been probably such a part of the cannabis industry as it's become legalized. And, you know, so again, I find it fascinating. So I would love to hear kind of your thoughts about that, the company's commitment to it. Yeah. Anything you can share on that? Because I think it's something that people can really learn from.
Yeah, I mean, I was just at this conference, the Illinois Women in Cannabis Conference, and just hearing from our nonprofit partners and just the talk about, you know, the word diversity. It's just, you know, it's just kind of been thrown out there. And, people were like, what does that actually mean? And who are we looking for? And why not just specifically call out exactly who we are looking for unapologetically? Yeah. So for the cannabis industry, I mean, I think, like, you know, you look at other CSR programs and how we are very uniquely positioned in terms of what our focus and priority is. So, you know, the cannabis industry, you know, before legalization, you know, the war on drugs has done just tremendous damage to the Black and Brown community, continue. And, you know, people a lot of times focus on incarceration, where there's been this ripple effect in terms of the damage that the war on drugs has done to families in those two communities.
Right.
I mean, I think about ACLU just put out research that said, you know, Black people are four times more likely to be arrested for marijuana use than white people. So it's one of those things where GTI, and especially in my role in the social impact team, we are committed to being very intentional, unapologetically intentional about who we need, the communities that we need to make a priority, because this industry, I mean, the facts. This industry was, you know, developed on the backs of Black and Brown communities. Yeah. And so, you know, there's those communities, you know, my community, there are still folks who are suffering in those spaces due to the war on drugs. And I've told you the story before about my nephew having two cannabis felonies. So it's something that families are still impacted. So why not, you know, it's our duty. And I always talk about it is, you know, our duty to pay dues to the Black and Brown communities unapologetically.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be afraid to say, these are the communities we are serving. These are the communities that we're making a priority, because this industry that I get the privilege to work in every day was built on the backs of those communities. And so, we're looking for Black and Brown directors and up to come to GTI.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's really amazing. I think, like, again, because I haven't been that close to the industry, but I've tried to, you know, have at least be observant of it. And also just like the whole, all the dynamics that you just spoke of. And I remember, this was a while ago, but I remember something that really hit me. I was reading something and there was a map of the United States and it was showing like clustering of Black and Brown communities. And that somebody had been like, well, why is this? And it was simply because of incarceration.
It's horrible. And in it, it wasn't,
I mean, it went the next level of saying that it was giving the detail about the, I don't know if you'd call it like the minor drug offenses, you know, like the marijuana offenses and things like that. And so that was, again, this was a while ago, but that was my first, where I was like, whoa, this is a, like, and then as I've continued to watch and see the industry and what's happening and, you know, who's in it and stuff like that, it's just been a really interesting sort of thing to observe.
It's sad to watch sometimes, you know, you look at communities who, people who have been in the legacy market for decades and you wonder, you know, where is their voice in this?
Yeah.
How can they get involved? How can we reach communities of color? And I always talk about, you know, that diversity piece is not just about talent acquisition, because I'm big on where is the cannabis industry spending its money, where it comes to suppliers and vendors, where it comes to supporting not just nonprofit organizations, but Black and Brown businesses in this space, because I always feel like their very existence in this space is social equity. You know, it's like they have to have a presence in this space, and whatever, you know, we can do at GTI to support. We've worked with a small business here. I shouldn't say small, because Mr. Richardson with the Illinois Cannabis Training Center here in Chicago is doing amazing work to train bud tenders, to host networking nights, to host job fairs. And it's a for-profit business, but it's something that GTI, you know, is something that we support through our social impact efforts, because I want to see Black businesses in this space win. I want to see our communities win. I want to see the Latino community in this space win. And so it's a it's important for us to look at nonprofits, but also look at those businesses who are trying to make it through, you know, they don't have those big investors behind them that a lot of the multi-state operators are. So whatever we can do, I'm very big on like, what can we do? Let's not look at the barriers, but let's focus on what we can do and just build on that to help communities as much as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that I loved when I first got to know your colleagues, it was that it was three women showed up, spoke to the audience here. Three women, including Jai, showed up to the call, Shannon and Grace and Jai. Yeah. And I was like, this is awesome. I mean, I was on a, I was on a call earlier this week or last week, and I looked up at the screen and it was me and nine white men.
Oh, and I was like, wow.
And so, you know, this stuff really, I mean, it still happens. It's still, and so it was great to be able to see that, you know, you do have diversity in practice. It, you know, it's gender, it's racial. I mean, I'm sure it crosses the gamut. And so, and I love the way you've talked about it here is truly like a showcase almost of, you said it earlier, like doing it the right way. You mentioned it's not just hiring, it's all these things. It's how you show up in the community.
The full scope.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, again, like that's authenticity in leadership, that's authenticity in how you show up as a brand. And so I just wanted to like pause and really, I guess, celebrate it. It's pretty awesome. And I'm also curious, like it's a really competitive field, I would imagine. And so I've seen a lot of other cannabis brands who they're doing a lot in the like, I guess like natural space or the commitment to climate and things like that. But what's unique about GTI? Is it part of that, the commitment to the Black and Brown community? Like, I just want the audience to understand like how to think about it, the differentiator in a marketplace that is probably pretty cluttered.
Yeah, so for me, my big thing is when the community wins, we all win. So there is no, for me, supporting the community, there's no competition in that. Because when the community wins, we all win. So you will never hear me speaking about, you know, negatively about other outreach efforts because I appreciate it. And I tell nonprofit partners, you should be receiving support from everybody because you deserve it. You are owed that. It is our duty to do that, to support your community efforts. So, you know, and one of the things that's unique, I feel like, about GTI is that, you know, and not that it's not unique to the others, but it, we, you know, we really pride ourselves in doing what we say we're going to do. So it's a, you know, and that's just something for with me personally, too, especially from the social impact team, you know, going out of our way. And I like to really treat my, and it comes from my background of working in PR firms, but treating my nonprofit partners as my clients, you know, with respect and understand and going in with the listening ear versus asking them what, you know, telling them what we want them to do, but going in and really helping to listen and to really develop informed strategies and tactics that are based off of feedback from our community partners. That's like a key thing from the social impact team, where we really look at them as part true partners and wanting to develop long-term relationships with them, where you see that greater impact. So it's not just those one-offs, you write a check, but I always ask, you know, how can we create these, this drumbeat approach where we work with you through a calendar year where I can, you know, we can, we know that every January we do this, every March we do this with you, every, you know, so, and continue with that. So at the end of the year, we can look at everything we accomplished together as a partners and, you know, and just see that greater impact. So it's one of those things that, and then also too, just internally with our teammates, I still, when I started at GTI, I was just like so blown away by our volunteers, our employees. They have reached out. I mean, as soon as I started, reached out to me. How can I help? How can we get involved? What are the things we can do? We have a group called Volunteer Champions. And in each retail facility, they activate community programs where, you know, to go into the market to show that we're bringing jobs and we're also there to support the community, good neighbors. In addition to premium product, we're also there to support the community. And so I like heart them so much because they are like literally going above and beyond their day-to-day job to activate volunteer activities and to support their communities. And I just love them so much. And the communities that they serve, they're just out there and representing to the fullest. And so you really see that passion in our employee base as well. So it makes my job easier. I always tell them, look, I work for you. You tell me what you need because y'all out there killing it. And I need to, they're great. I love, so shout out to the volunteer champions because y'all are the real MVP.
I'm laughing so hard because I've often told my staff, I'm like, I don't know, I work for you. You're
right. I'm just here to provide them with as much resources and information, you know, templatized and everything to make sure that they're equipped to just, because they're already working on top of their day-to-day job in our dispensaries and they love supporting the community. You know, we don't even have to ask them. They want to support the community and they want to represent GTI and they want to represent RISE in the communities. And so they are out there. And so our job, you know, I told them I work for them. I provide, you know, we provide them with as much guidance and support to just make it as easy as possible for them.
Yeah. But I mean, I think that's also though such a sign of you as an authentic leader and that you're literally there as an others focused leader. And we had a recent episode about that. And it's like, you want to support, you want to make, your job is to make other people's jobs easier. And so you're setting them up for success. And, you know, I think that just the way you speak about it and the joy with which you speak about it is infectious. And so, I mean, I think that it's a pretty special place. I think that you can feel that proud of the company that you work for, the staff, your colleagues, and you know, I think it's pretty special, I think, to have someone like you in your role that wants to, you know, to take that type of an approach. And so, you know, again, I am celebrating that. And I think as people are listening, I think that, you know, leadership crosses all industries, being authentic and, you know, and really it's like just the ability to impact that you've talked about in this conversation already. You've talked about like the tremendous impact, you know, when you're leading with purpose through, you know, the community, your colleagues, your, people who are volunteering and they're also staff, like all of it. And it's, again, right. I think it's really special.
Yeah, I really am so thankful. You know, it's just, our team is very intentional with everything that we do. And we just want to ensure, you know, I always say, you know, just focus on the goal. Our goal is to support the community. Let's ignore the noise. Let's ignore what we can't do. Let's focus on what we can do. And let's focus on, you know, looking at the information we receive from partners, feedback. I always talk about how, you know, criticism is good. When people want to, you know, criticize multi-state operators or GTI, when I first started at GTI, I intentionally went straight to the people who we had the most, you know, tensions with to say, what is it that we can do to support? What is it that we can do to, you know, make things better? How can we improve? You should always want to grow. Always want, you know, you can't, you know, everybody has to take a look at themselves at some point and say, you know, and so you can't always have this, you know, we're the best, you know, there's always room for improvement. And so removing that ego, and that's something too that's special about GTI. We are a very like humble organization where that ego, it just will not work in this workspace. And so you have to remove that ego to be able to say, you know, how can we grow? How can we improve? How can we learn from mistakes? And I just feel like being true to yourself and just being that, you know, transparent with your partners.
Yeah,
it's a great way to just show like, look, I'm trying to figure this out with you. I'm trying to figure this out with you. And we want to do better. And we, you know, our heart and our intentions are in the right place. If we made mistakes, you know, we're happy to sit down and to move forward in a better, you know, direction. So it's all about just taking ownership and then moving forward and listening and how you can do better.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I talk about this all the time, and it's just a tentpole of SLG Impact is evolving, and is that commitment to always evolving. And it does like check ego at the side. And it's like looking at, you know, putting that mirror up in front of yourself and those open discussions. And, you know, I love how you talk about, you know, you move with intention and you also vocalize that. I think that can make all the difference, is because, you know, I often talk about like perception and intention are not the same things.
Right.
so it's often really helpful, especially because I've done so much in the partnership space. It is so important to, you know, especially when you're going to partner with someone, or, you know, another company, whatever it is to be able to share openly in the very beginning and throughout intention and, you know, to keep that together, because, you know, so many people, they, you know, at the end of the day, they're really looking out for themselves. So, or at the front of the day, but.
and you just can't operate like that in this social impact space, because I always say what we do is heart work. And I know I sound like a broken record, but it is, because we are dealing with people, people's real lives, people who have been impacted by the war on drugs. We have programs where we specifically look, we have this grant program called Good Green, where we provide unrestricted funding to organizations to support people who've been impacted by the war on drugs. And so when you hear stories from like some of the organizations who have won this grant, you know, of the people that they help, you know, you can't help but come and bring your human to work. You know, you have to be a human and you have to have feelings and you have to, you know, understand that folks are being vulnerable with you in terms of how they've been impacted by the war on drugs. So it's important for you to bring that same energy and understand that you are in a position to provide support. I always say, I am here, you know, at GTI through the social impact team, our role, we know our lane. Our role is to provide resources to organizations who are out there doing amazing work in the trenches, doing amazing work. And we're also here to be a platform to amplify their voices, because, you know, it's, you know, providing support in any way that they need us. And so those stories, you know, I think about through our Good Green grant, those recipients, you know, I think about Why Not Prosper in Philadelphia. This woman, a former incarcerated woman, started a nonprofit to support other women who've been incarcerated. And it's just, you know, something simple as like helping them with an ID, helping them with, you know, giving their birth certificate, helping them find housing, that kind of stuff. You know, you really have to be in a place where you, you know, you bring your heart to work and you're there to hear those stories and the impact of the work. And it's gratifying to know that, you know, I'm in a position where I can help people who've been impacted in that way. And so I love it.
Oh, it truly is. Like, listening to it, it's inspiring. And I think part of that is because how fulfilled it seems you feel. And
yes.
You know, you've said on this, like, you love it and you've said that it's your dream job. And I think, like, I want to get into you now, because, like, and your own evolution, because I'm sure other people as they're listening to this are like, holy shit, I want to be like that. I want to be on that trajectory. And so, you know, one thing I just love about your path, as I've looked at your journey, your career journey, it doesn't seem linear. You've talked about that you've been in PR, now you're in social impact. I think people oftentimes think like you're one thing your whole career. You're in
one
area. And I just think there's a bit, I wanted you to tell your story and include the part about manifesting this job, because I love that part of your story. But I would love for you to share that with people, because again, I think that it's so important to be able to see people who can successfully take, I call them tangential moves that are purpose driven. It's not, your path doesn't seem linear, but it seems very purposeful. So I would love for you to share your evolution in your career journey. And anything that you want to share.
And it's funny because I think about, you know, how I was even introduced to corporate social responsibility. And this is why I always feel like, you know, I heard someone say at a conference recently, you know, you have to see it to believe it. And it's so true, and why exposure is so important, especially for young individuals, particularly in Black and Brown communities where there is not a lot of exposure to particularly corporate jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I remember I was interning for the Los Angeles Clippers, and I was interviewing for an internship with the Los Angeles Clippers, and I was originally going in for a PR internship. This was way back in the day. Like, I'm not even going to talk about my age,
but yesterday.
This was back in the day. But I went in there and they had you on this panel. And I'll never forget that there was a woman there who was talking about community relations on the Clippers. And I had never in my life heard of, you know, a community relations position. And immediately I knew that that's what I was supposed to do. And I was straight out of college and, in that interview process. So I joined the Clippers as a community relations intern. And from there, that is where I just started, you know, working in the PR and community relations. Because
right.
A lot of the times, like when going to, you know, different spaces, like I moved overseas and I worked for PR firms there. And then I worked for PR firms in LA and in Washington, DC. And a lot of the work that I did was very focused on multicultural communications, which includes community relations as well as traditional PR. And so it's almost like, it was almost like the universe was moving me into that position and knowing exactly where I would end up in this position where I am now. And so I'm thankful for, I had the opportunity to work for some amazing, dynamic Black women who were leaders in their spaces, presidents and CEOs and EVPs and in high positions, and to have that exposure to them walking into rooms and commanding the rooms, and extremely smart women who just, you know, they don't know, but they have just made such an indelible, like, print, you know, just mark on my life in terms of where I, you know, where I wanted to see myself in the future. And so, you know, after working for a nonprofit for 8 years, I really got to this place where that was my previous position. I got to this place where, you know, George Floyd had was murdered, and then all of the civil unrest that followed after that, it just like lit this fire in me where I just wanted to do something to support my community, period. Like, I didn't want to do anything else. And, you know, wanting to really just push for more Black people in leadership positions, wanting to push for support, more support of our communities. Like, I was already doing that, you know, without really knowing that I was doing that in my jobs, but I knew that I wanted something very specific. And so, you know, I have a journal and it has Dream Big on the front of it. And it's so funny because I showed the hiring manager after I got this job, I literally wrote down, I am a CSR leader. I work for a corporate CPG company, and I wrote like different companies that I would like to work for. So I always say, like, the cannabis industry found me, but I didn't know that I would end up in the cannabis space, even though I've been involved in the legacy market before coming into the legal market. But I wrote it down and I just thought about what would it look like being in this space. I envisioned myself. I actually looked at, and I can't think of her name, but the Black woman who is the head of CSR for the LA Dodgers. I just would look at, you know, media of her and like, this is how I want to be, you know, I want, and I just envisioned myself in that space and doing, you know, that type of work. And I just said, you know, I was very intentional in the sense where like, I didn't want to break away from that vision of where I wanted to go. I applied for the job. I got offers at other positions, but I was like, nope, I'm focused on this. I'm focused on what I want to do. I want to work in the social impact CSR space. I know that when I was working in that space for the PR firms I worked for, that's what like made my heart sing. You know, that's what made me feel happy. That's what gave me joy. And even in, you know, the former nonprofit that I worked for, when I went into the communities and got to meet people and got to see, you know, the impact of our work, that's what made me happy. And I always told people like, yeah, you need to do that so you can think from here versus from here. And so this job allows me to do that because I'm able to just really look at and meet some of the most just selfless people who are out here working sometimes, you know, full-time jobs on top of managing nonprofits to help the community. So yeah, I wrote it down and I would read it every day. And I still do. I have my like manifestation morning routine where I just focus on what exactly I want in life. And this was exactly what I wanted. So it's almost like surreal because I mean, to the T. And when I see things like this happen, I literally wrote down, I'll do media interviews on the, you know, and we are here doing a podcast interview. And I interviews with my new career. And because I was so focused on one, growth, but also just a platform where I could just focus on supporting the Black and Brown community. And this has given me that. And I'm forever thankful and grateful for it.
That's amazing. It's amazing. I also think you just said to a T, and the way you described it, you didn't exactly have the detail at the time. And I say this just for the audience, is that you had an idea of what you wanted. You had gave yourself that opportunity to look and see other people that you all almost like you were mirroring a bit in a good way. Right. I'm saying this.
Yeah.
And so I think like you created it, you put yourself in that receptive way and you knew the elements of yourself and what you were looking for so that when the very specific thing came, it was like matching up with that. But I think sometimes, so like, it's okay to not know exactly the exact thing, the exact company you want to work for.
Right.
But, you know, because, but again, it's like you, it seems to me that you really put yourself on that path. And I love the commitment that you're sharing that you have and have had to that, writing it down, visualizing it, saying it, all of those things. I'm going to take note to self over here.
You know? It's true. It's so true because I didn't want to say I want to work for this company because I focused on what I was passionate about. Yeah. I focused on how I wanted to feel every day. I focused on, you know, really just like how I wanted to feel in my job because you know how many hours you spend at work. You should be happy doing it. You should focus on your passion. And so when I tell folks coming into the cannabis industry, look at what you're good at and what you're passionate about. Don't come in thinking this is like, oh, get rich quick. That is not it. But it is an opportunity for you to find your lane and to thrive. Because we recently just hosted a Black History Month webinar where we had four amazing Black men support, three were entrepreneurs. And they talked about just the passion that they have. And you can hear it in what they said. You know, one of them focuses on, you know, logistics. And one was focused on just his need for a journal to talk about, you know, how to use cannabis for well-being. And, you know, and then another one was about a lifestyle brand and wanting to provide education to the community. And so those, you know, they picked their very specific lanes that worked for them. And it was just like a proud moment, because I said, I'm just so happy to see people of color thriving in this space when there are so many roadblocks. Yeah. And to be able to just do something as simple as to provide them with a platform to talk about their business, to talk about, you know, how they got into it, to share that knowledge, because again, you have to see it to believe it. And I'm so thankful that I've been able, you know, in my situation, like I said, I saw the Black woman who's the head of CSR for the LA Dodgers. I saw the Black woman who was the head of CSR for the LA Clippers. The women who were in leadership at the PR firms I worked for throughout my career. I'm thankful that I had those women throughout my life, as well as the women in my family who, you know, are all thriving. And to see those examples of just, you know, boss women who are out there killing it. Yeah, and yeah. I just knew, like, after, you know, you get to a place where you get comfortable. And I remember, like, just being in a space where I knew it was time for me to grow after I had my son. I said, okay, Jai, you know, you've traveled the world. You've done, you know, you've worked, you know, it's time for you to really, like, I had to have a vulnerable moment with myself. And I had to say, you know, it's time for you to grow. Like, you've done what you can here. It's time for you to grow. You know that you can do it. And all my mentors are like, it's been time for you. You can do this.
We're glad you finally figured it out.
We've been waiting on you. Yeah. And shout out to Bridget Williams, who is like an amazing woman who I talk with all the time. She a former colleague. And so too just said, you know, it's time. And you are beyond ready. And so I had to believe it first within myself. So you have to believe it first within yourself. You can hear it from everybody, but you have to believe it first within yourself. And I got to a place after having my son and thinking, like, what do I want him to see when he sees his mom? You know, what do I want him? I want him to look at me and say, you know, I'm proud of her. I'm proud of her accomplishments. And you can do both. You can have a career. You can be a woman and be a mom, and you can have a career and be successful. And so I just decided, like, it's time. And so, yeah, so here I am.
Oh my God, I love this. I love this. Because one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, and you just encapsulated it, was like, as I heard your story and I, you know, I've gotten to know you, you are like this, the kind of notion of a resilient warrior comes to my mind. Because, like, again, you have the way you talk about it, your commitment to evolution, you've lived overseas, you just mentioned all these places across the country that you've lived. Also, you're a mom, all of these things. And it's like, and I think sometimes people think you're one way your whole journey. And as you shared it, you really had a sense of self-awareness through it and took those moments throughout it to put the mirror up to yourself. As I said earlier, you said, like, have a vulnerable moment with yourself, you know? And again, it's that, like, commitment to evolving. But I do think that takes a bit of this, like, warrior element and being resilient.
Yeah, you have to be willing to take risks. Like, you can't be afraid. I remember when I quit my job and I was working for Sprint Boost Mobile. Shout out to Barb Malat. I loved her. She was my boss there, and I was thinking about moving to Australia because I had already lived overseas, and I just loved the way that people in Australia live. That's where I met our mutual friend, Asia.
Yeah, I figured.
And this is a great story, because I feel like this is when you make the decision that you're going to do something, whatever you believe in will open the door with all of the opportunities and things you need to help you through your journey. So when I made the decision to move to Australia, I quit my job because it was they had gone through like a merger or whatnot. And so it was like, okay. And my boss was like, you should totally move to Australia. You don't have any kids. You don't have responsibility.
Go.
So I went, I had no job. I had savings, but I had no job. And I just, and as soon as I made that decision, I literally met three, including Asia, three people in PR, Black people in PR, before I even got on the plane. So I was already set up with, like, you have a network before you get there. I had already met someone who helped me find housing. So before I got there, I had housing. And so when I got there, you know, I traveled a bit, but then my background in the PR side and multicultural comm side was in health and science. We used to work on a lot of programs with like NIH and the CDC. And so when I got there, apparently there was a shortage of health and science PR professionals at the time, which worked out for me. So I got a job immediately at a PR firm there. I worked for Publicist Life Brands, and then I worked for Edelman in Australia, in Sydney. And so it was just one of those things, like you have to be able to take risks and just say, you know, and people always laugh at me because they think, they're like, how old are you? Because they're like, you've lived like six different lives. And it's true. And every time I look at all of those stages in my life, they just keep preparing you for the next. Those stages just keep preparing you for the next. So it's really focused on, I feel like it's so important. And now that I'm older and I see it, just to be present in the moment and to just be present in that moment and to gather as much knowledge as you can of self. And then also of just, you know, people around you, take all of that because it helps to inform how you are going to be in the next stage of your life and how you operate within your work, within your life. And so those lessons, I've always been someone who's just been not afraid. I moved to Japan on a whim. I moved there. I moved to Thailand on a whim. And, you know, and it worked out, you know, it always works out. And those experiences have really shaped my life to a sense where I'm happy that I'm able to share those stories with my son. I'm happy that I'm able to share those experiences and that I've been able to work abroad and to be able to understand like how businesses work in different countries, how to bring that into the space at GTI and the work that I do here on the social impact team. And then just the ton of knowledge that I got working with, like I said, dynamic leaders at Ogilvy, at Edelman, at Young Communications Group out of LA. And to just say, you know, all these people I can still go to and say like, you know, you got to keep learning. So you always continue to learn. So I sometimes still go to these same people and say, hey, I'm thinking this, you know, what do you think? But yeah, I'm just really grateful for all of those stages where they've kind of built up to where I am now to help me be a more well-rounded person. And so, yeah, I hope my son has the same type of desire to go abroad and all that stuff.
Oh, you are just truly such an amazing human. And I love how open you have been with us and all that you're sharing. And I was going to ask you, like, you know, if you had something to share with people as a closeout, and then you just did it, you delivered it, like served it up on a platter. And so, and I couldn't agree more, you know, it really is each part of your journey helps prepare you for the next. And I do think that helps us in the moment sometimes to create calm and kind of knowing, okay, wait a second, this current situation or thing
it won't last forever.
Exactly. But then also to think about there's something here, there's some learning in it for me. And so I don't know. I think it's really helpful the way you've shared everything. And I just always count me as one of your people, one of your encouragers. I just think you're phenomenal. And I'm so excited.
Thank you.
I'm so excited that you were here today and you shared so much. I'm a fan of everything you're doing and GTI.
Yeah, I'm just big on, you know, being true to yourself. And that is something, you know, anyone, if you come into the cannabis industry, any industry that you go into, you know, your authentic self is your superpower. Mm. And you just have to be true to yourself. And I feel like when you do, people feel that energy and they know, you know, I have no mask. This is what you get. What you get. And so, you know, it's one of the, and I'm thankful that I'm in a place where I feel valued, where I feel like my voice is heard. I feel like there's actions that follow it. And so I'm very thankful for the GTI team, for our leadership, the work that we do through our programming that supports the community. And so, yeah, it's a great feeling and I'm very thankful for this moment in my life.
Oh, that's amazing. And it's a great closeout. So folks, you heard it here, follow GTI, follow Jai.
Yeah.
And you did mention some programs and opportunities for brands. So again, if there's anybody in the audience that's, you know, wants to make an impact, you know, in this space, definitely will include links to how to get in touch with Jai and stuff on the, and yeah, so please. Have an amazing day. Thank you for everything.
You too. Thank you.